Well, good morning, River Church. How are we doing today? This beautiful day outside, huh? Who's excited to get up and get outside today? Yeah. Well, okay, let's go. Hey, first of all, let me say this. If you're new here with us today, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. We hope that, man, as soon as you walked in those doors today, that you felt at home and that you met people that you know care about you and want the best for you. But most importantly, man, our prayer is that you experience the presence of God in this place. Amen. And that's something that we all need. Amen. That's something that we all need. So, hey, I'm glad to be here with you today. Let me also mention this. What an awesome harvest fest we had yesterday. Can we give it up for that? All of the amazing volunteers that showed up in the rain, were working in the rain to pivot, make it an awesome event. Darren and Mercedes, our I Love My City leaders, were out in the pouring rain getting drenched, killing it. I had people tell me it was inspiring just watching them because they were like, this thing is happening. This event is happening. As a matter of fact, some of the vendors that were here said, everybody else canceled on us, but you guys didn't, and we knew you guys were going to go for it. So, man, it was awesome. Thank you to everybody who showed up and worked hard and just made it an awesome event, man. It was fun. So, hey, it's good for me to be back with you guys. I'll say this. I missed you guys the last couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, I had the flu. That was really fun. Thank you, Pastor Darren, stepping up. Last week, Katie and I were out of town. We were celebrating our anniversary. Let's go. I know y'all are clapping because you're surprised. You're like, she's still with you after all this time. We can't believe it. 12 years. Actually, today's our anniversary. We celebrated early. So today, 12 years of marriage, and we had a lot of wonderful things to celebrate. Four boys, 12 years together. Let's just say this. God has been abundantly good to us. I'm going to say it that way. Amen. So, yeah, say that. I'm a lucky man. I mean, as a good friend says, you outkicked your coverage. Mike, you outkicked your coverage. I'm like, that's true. But hey, if you're new here with us today, we have been, as a church, for the last year or so, going through the book of Luke, and that's where we're going to be at today. And today's an interesting one, and you run into passages like this when you go through books of the Bible. There's passages that, like today's passage, you don't typically think about, you don't typically talk about, you don't necessarily read a lot because it's not like the inspirational Bible verse, you know what I'm saying? It's not the one that is on the coffee cup or it's not the one that you put on a t-shirt. And so we typically can maybe like move past those because if we're honest, they can be confusing. It can be one we don't quite understand. And so if you're like me, you're reading like, I want to get to one past this. I want to move on, right? But when you're going through the book of Luke, like we are going through a book of the Bible, you can't skip it because you guys will know if I skip it. You're reading, you're like, Mike, that was a big one that he missed, right? Why did he skip that one, right? But the truth of the matter is it's good that we walk through books of the Bible like this because we face passages like this. We have to wrestle with it, study it, do our best to understand it, and see how it applies to our lives today. And so it's really, even though they're difficult passages, it's really beautiful and good. So today, what we're going to do, we're going to wrestle with this passage. We're going to do our best to study and understand it and then see what it means for us. You ready? Today's passage is about Armageddon. Who's ready for that? The end is near. Here it is. Before I jump in, let me tell you this. I'll give you the main subject. I said it's Armageddon. Not quite, but kind of. Because in this passage, it opens up with the Pharisees, who are the religious rulers, the religious leaders of this day and time in Rome, where they are in Israel. These are the religious leaders. And they have a question for Jesus. And so they come to Jesus, they ask him a simple question, a reasonable question. They come to him and they ask him this question, when will the kingdom of God arrive? When will the kingdom of God come to earth? And we hear that and we go, okay, well, what does that mean? When you say, when will the kingdom of God come to earth? What exactly are you talking about? Because it could mean a lot of things, right? The kingdom of God could mean a lot of things, especially when you look at the scriptures, because the scriptures talk about this constant idea of the arrival of a kingdom, or the arrival of a king to earth. And as a matter of fact, if you pay attention, Jesus teaches us to pray for this kingdom. What does he say? When we, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Look, you guys know your Bible. Good job, right? Right? Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's us as believers praying for the arrival of God's kingdom on earth. It's a fair question that the Pharisees have, because the Bible talks about this idea of a kingdom, God's kingdom coming to earth a lot. Sometimes when we read it, it's prophetic. It's the Old Testament prophesying the coming of Jesus or the arrival of Jesus. Sometimes it's prophetic, like in the book of Revelation, talking about the second coming of Christ. Sometimes it's a literal idea, like when Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about how the kingdom of heaven on earth should look. This is how believers who live in the kingdom of heaven on earth, this is how you should live. Sometimes it's apocalyptic in nature, like in Revelation, the Son of Man coming, riding on a horse with a sword and a big old tattoo, right? Sometimes it's apocalyptic. And so when Jesus talks about this kingdom, there's all these different ideas of what it could be, but there's really two different things that when the Bible talks about God's kingdom coming to earth, that it talks about. One, it talks about a Messiah who will come. A Messiah who will come and save his people from their sins, from the lineage of David. And then the Bible also talks about a conquering king who will one day come and establish his reign on earth forever. It's the kingdom that it talks about in the Bible, where every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And so that's what kind of is difficult here, is because oftentimes when they're reading, the Pharisees get these kingdoms mixed up and they get confused by it. But there's really two ideas, the coming of the Messiah and then the second coming of Jesus. And so the Pharisees come and they say, Jesus, when will your kingdom come? And I keep saying it's a fair question because it's a question that we still ask today, isn't it? It's a question we still ask today. As a matter of fact, I'm 37, almost 38. I know you can't believe it. You're like, I thought his story's like 25, you know, right? 26. I was wondering how he's married for 12 years, you know? Thank you all for humoring me. But in my 37 years of life, I've heard like Jesus's coming predicted about 37 times. Amen? Right? Every time it's like Y2K, he's coming back. People are predicting it's 2012. The Mayan calendar is ending. Jesus was telling us, right? There's people writing books who are making a lot of money off of predicting the date that Jesus is going to come back. So it's a question that even us today, we still ask the question, Jesus, when will your kingdom come? And so the Pharisees are asking a question some 2,000 years ago that we're still wondering today. So maybe, just maybe, Jesus is going to tell us the answer. You want to find out? Let's see. I've got some predictions for us today. You ready for that? Just kidding. If I start predicting when Jesus is coming back, y'all start running away, okay? Here you go. Luke 17, starting in verse 20 is where we're going to be today. You're like, we're just now getting started? Yeah. I've been gone for 2 weeks, man. I got a lot to say. All right. Verse 20. And when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them. So there's the question. When's it going to come? The kingdom of God is not coming with something observable, and no one will say, see here or there. Here's the answer. For you see, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Isn't that interesting? Because the Bible talks about this kingdom that's going to come and all this kind of thing. So they say, when's your kingdom going to come? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is in your midst. There's not going to be signs or wonders. There's not going to be this big thing where you can predict it and say it's here, because it's already here. Here's what's happening. The Pharisees are asking Jesus, how will we know? Show us a sign. Show us a wonder. Show us something in the sky that's going to be in the sky and show us that the kingdom of God is coming to earth. And Jesus says, you're looking for a sign, but here's the thing. It's already here, baby. It's already here. Say, what does he mean? Well, at the arrival of Jesus to earth, that baby born in the manger was the arrival of the kingdom of God to earth. The Savior is here. Salvation is here. A spiritual kingdom is about to be set up here on earth. Jesus, the Messiah, who the Bible talks about, has come to set his people free and establish a spiritual kingdom here on earth. He's born in a manger, no fanfare. Yeah, there was a star in the sky, some wise men showed up, and there were some shepherds, but the rest of the world, nobody knew. He was born in a manger. He lived 33 years teaching and preaching. He's going to be crucified on the cross. He's going to raise from the dead 3 days later, and then he's going to bring salvation and forgiveness from sins through his death and resurrection. Praise God. He will establish his church where men and women find salvation, joined together, unified in Christ with purpose, advancing the spiritual kingdom and pushing back on wickedness and darkness in this world until he returns again and establishes his forever kingdom. See, the Pharisees say, "When will your kingdom come?" And he says, "The kingdom you need is already in your midst." You're looking for the forever reign. You're looking for the big, you know, the sword in the sky and coming to conquer the world. But the kingdom you need is right now. Salvation is here. Salvation is here. There's no point in looking for the stars in the sky. There's no point in worrying about the second coming if you miss the spiritual kingdom that is right in front of you. There's no point, and it's so true, isn't it? Because something that's funny will happen, man. We'll start arguing theology, and we'll start arguing about all kinds of things in the church. We'll argue anything. One thing churches are good at is we're good at arguing, amen? Like, we'll argue about theology and semantics and carpet colors and budgets. We'll fight about end times doctrine. We'll fight about whether or not the pastor should wear a suit or a much more reasonable black shirt with nice jeans, right? We'll argue about anything, and we can argue about all those things, but if we miss the spiritual kingdom that is in our midst, if we miss salvation that is in our midst, the rest of it is just wasting our breath. Do you understand? If you don't have salvation, then you ain't got any of it. If you don't have salvation, then none of the rest matters. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees, you're worried about the end times kingdom. What you need to worry about is what is in your midst. I am here. Get saved, and then we'll worry about the rest. And then what's interesting, Jesus says this to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And then he turns to the disciples and starts talking to them. And if I'm the Pharisees, I'm a little offended by this. I'm like, hey, we're the ones that asked you the question. But hey, look at what Jesus says. He says, verse 22. Then he told the disciples, the days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you won't see it. They will say to you, see there or see here. Don't follow or run after them. For as lightning flashes from horizon to horizon and lights up the sky, so the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, it is necessary that he suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So the Pharisees say, when will your kingdom come? And Jesus says, the kingdom's already here. It's already in your midst. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and starts talking about a kingdom that's going to come later on. See how that would be confusing, right? When's your kingdom to come? It's already here. All right, disciples, let's talk about my kingdom that's going to come in the future. Pharisees are like, what's going on? He talks to the Pharisees about the kingdom they need, the kingdom of salvation. And then he starts to talk to the disciples about the kingdom when he will return. And what does he say? He says, there will be days when you long for my return. There will be days when you long for my return. And as believers, we've had those days, haven't we? We look around in our world and we see evil. We look around in our world and maybe we experience tragedy or hopelessness or suffering, or we walk through something that just as a believer feels unimaginable. And what is it? In our souls, we long for the return of Jesus, don't we? We long for him to move and speak and be, and we see evil in our world and we long for him to come. And Jesus says, there will be days as believers when I go away that you're going to long for my return. And then he says this, he says, and people will say, see here or see there, but don't believe them. And what's he talking about? In those days, there will be people who predict my return. There will be people who even claim to be me. There will be people who claim to know the time or the date of when I will return, but don't believe them. What's he referencing? He's referencing false prophets. He's referencing people who will claim to know the day and the time that he's going to return. And he's saying, ain't nobody knows when I'm coming back, but I am coming back. Praise God. Amen. He says, look, there's going to be people who claim to know the date and the time. They're liars, false prophets. Don't believe them, right? And again, that's why I was joking. If I start predicting, hey, next week is he's going to come back on about 12:15, you need to get out of this church. You need to run away because I'm a liar if I do that, right? And then he says, the first, before any of that happens, it's necessary that I die on the cross, right? I must be rejected by a man. So essentially, he's talking to the Pharisees. They say, when is your kingdom come? He says, it's in your midst. Then he turns to the disciples and he starts talking about this kingdom come, this final kingdom. He says these three things. There will be a day when you long for my return. No one will know when that day is, but first, before any of it, I must suffer and die on the cross. Why? Why does he say it like this? Why does he say, I must do this before I return again? Because, hear this, because it's only through his death and resurrection on the cross that his return has meaning for us. It's only through his death and resurrection on the cross that his final return has meaning for us. Why? Because it's through the cross that we have salvation. It's through his sacrifice on the cross we can have our souls saved, our lives changed. It's only through the cross that we can experience the spiritual kingdom of heaven on earth. And then he returns and establishes his forever kingdom. We get to partake in it. But we don't get to partake in the forever kingdom if we don't experience the spiritual kingdom now. You see what I'm saying? So praise God that he didn't come first with a sword. Amen? Praise God that he was like, I'm going to set up that forever kingdom right now. We're all like, no, we don't like that idea, right? First, he came to suffer and die and be raised again so that we might have life and experience the forever kingdom. Praise his name, amen? Praise his name. It's why, again, he says to the Pharisees, don't worry about the forever kingdom until you get the kingdom now. Until you get the kingdom now. He continues, verse 26. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so now he's going to reference Old Testament. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People went on eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And it will be the same as it was in the days of Lot. People went on eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting, building. But on the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. And it will be like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Sounds like fun, huh? You know, he goes on, he compares the time that he returns to two Old Testament events, the days of Noah when the flood happened, the days of Lot when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, when essentially people don't care about spiritual things anymore. When the world is full of evil, when we look around and you see no good and you see just people who've forgotten about anything spiritual, don't care about serving God, knowing God, following God, he said, it will be like that on the days that I return. And I think that's why, in a lot of ways, we get a lot of predictions about his return now. And I'll say this, I do hope he comes soon. I mean, I'd like to have grandkids, like experience life, that kind of stuff, but praise God, man, you come whenever you want, right? Whenever you want. But I think that's why we get a lot of predictions about his return, because we look around in our world and we see tragedy. And we look around in our world and we see suffering. We have access to worldwide news now that we haven't had 100 years ago. And we look around and we go, man, this place is evil. And so we begin to think he has to come back soon, don't we? But I'll say it like this. You know, I'm haven't lived in all these other centuries. I haven't lived in all these other times. There's some pretty evil times before. I don't know if we're in the most evil time of all times. I don't know. Attila the Hun was a pretty bad dude, right? Slavery, not our best moment, right? Things like that. So I'm just saying, right? But here's what I do know is I believe that even today in our world that, yes, there is evil, I believe the church is thriving. And I do believe that souls are still being saved. Lives are still being changed. I believe that God's spiritual kingdom is still advancing and still strong. Amen? Right? I don't think that we live, at least in this city, I don't think we live in a place where people don't care about spiritual things, because we're in this building. We're praising God. We're worshiping God. And God is moving in our midst. Amen? So here's what I'll say. I'm not ready to throw my hands up yet and say, come on, Jesus, it's hopeless, because it ain't, because we're still seeing spiritual life every day. Amen? Amen. So he says, when I come back, the world will be similar to the days of Noah. In verse 31, on that day, a man of the housetop whose belongings are in the house must not come down to get them. I'll just keep going. Likewise, the man who's in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to make his life secure will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night... Is he telling us it's going to be at night? Huh? Maybe? No, I'm just kidding. Just playing. I'm not reading too much into it. I tell you, on that night, two will be in bed, and one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, and the other left. Where, Lord, they asked him. He said to them, where the corpse is, there will also be vultures will be gathered. Again, aren't you glad you came to church? And say, what does this mean? Well, we won't walk through each one, but it gives this idea. Hey, you won't have time to go grab your stuff. Hey, you'll be grinding grain, and you'll turn around, and one's gone. You'll be laying in bed, somebody's gone. What's he saying? When I do return, one, it'll be sudden. It'll be sudden, and secondly, it will be final. What you chose is what you chose. Who you follow is who you follow. When he does return, it will be sudden, and it will be final. So the Pharisees come to Jesus and they ask him this question. When will your kingdom come? And Jesus says to them, salvation is in your midst. It's right here. And then he turns to his disciples and he says, but when I do return, when I do come to set up my forever kingdom, you will be longing for it. No one will be able to predict the time or the date. First, I must bring salvation. But when I do return, the world will be a dark place. When I do return, the world will be, it will be sudden. When I do return, it will be final. So we hear that this morning, and we read that this morning, and we ask the question, what do I do with that? What do I do with it? What do I do with that? Number one is this. Besides just logically understanding it, going, okay, he's going to come back. I get it. There's a spiritual kingdom here. Number one thing we need to do is make sure we're in the kingdom. First thing we need to do is make sure we're in the kingdom. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, none of the rest of this matters for you. First, stop. Admit that you need him. Give your life to him. Follow him. And then we can hang out in that forever kingdom forever. Amen. Amen. If you don't get the spiritual kingdom now, if you don't get salvation now, the rest of it doesn't matter. So start there. Secondly, I'll say this. Maybe you're in here and you're like, Mike, I'm a Christian already. I'm in the spiritual kingdom. I believe in it. I'm following Jesus today. But man, like my marriage is struggling. I got stuff going on. How does this help me? What does this mean for me? What does this do for me? I'll say it this way. Because Jesus came and died on the cross, because salvation is available for you, because relationship with God is available for you, whatever you're walking in, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, nothing is dead that God can't raise back to life. Nothing is over that God can't change, because wherever salvation exists, Wherever the kingdom of God is established and expanded, there is hope, there is transformation, there is purpose. Amen? And because we have right now the promise of his kingdom now, because we have the promise of salvation now, and because we have the promise of his coming one day kingdom, we can trust, believe, and know that nothing evil in this world is final. Brokenness will not win, sickness will not win, wickedness will not win, and no matter what we walk in today, we always have hope. Amen? Whether it's change for today or change in the future, we always have the promise of his kingdom that is here with us now, that he is moving and active and working in our lives today, and then no matter what, we always have hope for the future. Amen? Amen. So what do we do with this? Number one, if you're taking notes, I'm only on my first point. I've got seven of these. So. Actually, eight. Wow. Number one, we put our faith in him for salvation today because his kingdom is now. We put our faith in him for our salvation today. Number two, we put our hope in his return, knowing that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what evil happens in this world, we always have hope in the promise of his return. Number three, we stay prepared. Like you said, we stay prepared. We stay prepared for his return, walking in deep relationship with him. We stay prepared. And number four, this is the one I get excited about. We work to expand his spiritual kingdom in our midst. We put our faith in him for salvation today. We put our hope in him for his return. We stay prepared for his return by walking deeply in relationship with him. And then we as believers work to expand his spiritual kingdom today, because there is darkness in this world. There is evil in this world. But wherever the gospel goes, darkness is pushed back. Darkness is defeated. There is hope, joy, salvation, and life. And so as we walk in this world as believers, we do everything we can to know God and know him deeply. We do everything we can to find freedom from sin, shame, guilt, and the grave. We do everything we can to discover purpose for how God created us and made us today. And then we walk in a life that makes a difference. Amen? Stand with me, church. So as we leave today and we walk out with this passage, let us do two things. Let us put our hope in him for the promise of his return, anticipating it with joy. And then number two, let us as believers thrive in the kingdom that is now. May we thrive in the kingdom that is now. Because salvation is now. Relationship with God is now. Freedom is now. Purpose for your life is now, because of the kingdom that is in our midst. Amen. And so may we find joy and life in his kingdom today. May it transform us and heal us. May it change our lives and bring us meaning and purpose, as we walk deeply in relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us stay prepared for his return and look forward to it and anticipating it with hope and joy for the day that he comes and establishes his kingdom forever. And may we look forward to the day where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. Amen. Let's pray. God, I love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you didn't come first with a sword, but you came first humbly to bring us salvation and life. We praise you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it, Jesus. We ask this, God, if there's anyone here in our midst who's not living in the kingdom that is in our midst, I pray that you would call them, that you would call their name, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would draw them into salvation, even in this moment, that they might give their life to you and walk in joy in that spiritual kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said,